I'm glad you mentioned transportation, because one of my questions was going to be with, you know, the big dig, God willing, just about finally done. Do you have a sense of what you think ought to be the next big infrastructure project for the state to pursue? Or, I mean, you're sort of challenging the premise of the question, should there be another big dig size project?
Well, I think we've already identified it. It's in healthcare, and we've begun the trek, and I think we need to see it to its conclusion.
Interesting. I mean, so you're saying that needs to be doing healthcare right needs to.
Well, I mean, the devil is in the details, isn't it? We're into the execution mode next, so I think we have an honorable mission here that we all think, both from an employment level and from a consumer level, is a good thing, but we need to execute next.
Right. And the nation is watching, really. Right. I mean, it's not just other states. It's national policy that could be derived from what we do. So getting down to really doing it versus just the words on the page is going to be the challenge. But, I mean, it's a great start. We're very encouraged. And, you know, do we like every aspect of what was passed? No. But overall, it is the right direction, because we, as, you know, large providers of health care, we pay probably close to $180 million in Massachusetts alone for health care for our employees. Hmm. And so we're all contributing to the uncompensated care pools, and, you know, for those that do not have coverage. And as we, you know, implement this new health care initiative, I think that, you know, we will find that some of those costs could come down, combined with certainly, you know, more infrastructure for IT in the healthcare system to make the cost more efficient, and also more public disclosure of quality, and have more folks really in that conversation. So we're very encouraged.
How about Tim? Would you say, is Home Depot comfortable with the law that's been passed?
I think it'll benefit, again, the people of the state. I think it will, you know, big businesses, I think, will definitely benefit from that as well. So at this point, yes.
Benefit in the sense of?
One thing that I think has been attractive to tentative employees is larger companies that have good benefits packages, and that's definitely been, you know, something that has attracted many people to, I'm sure, all of our companies out there. So I think, you know, that will continue. But at this point, I think Home Depot is well prepared to continue on with it.
Mm-hmm. The Verizons and the Home Depots and the Bank of Americas provide good health plans for our associates. But I think we all see this as a large issue, not just for this state but across the country. So to the degree that this state serves as the first, we'd like to see it executed well.
Mm-hmm. Right. At this point, do you have a sense of where we might trip or stumble, or, you know, what you think is going to be the hardest thing in executing?
I think it will be a challenge for small businesses, and I think that what the framework of it really hasn't been set in a way that I could codify easily. I don't know.
I would just share the small business concern. I mean, we do business with probably about 9,500 small businesses in Massachusetts, and they're worried. Mm-hmm. When we look at some of the innovators coming out of the colleges and the new nanotech centers, the biotech centers, I mean, you have a lot of really small incubator-type companies. And, you know, the question is, we may have all the right environment here, but we have to keep our eye on the costs. And those folks who are starting those companies are very concerned. So how do we care for them in a way that, again, doesn't corrupt the system we intended to implement, but also does not discourage those kinds of folks from coming to the state and continuing on with their businesses, because we don't want them to come up with the great ideas and then move somewhere else.
Right. Maybe just taking another way into this, you get to be at the table with the next governor, and you have two pieces of advice that the governor promises to take. One is the best thing he or she could do for the state's overall economy. Number two is the best thing he or she could do for your own company or your own industry. And I wonder if anything comes to mind.
Well, something comes to mind for me. I'm not sure if it's a piece of advice. It's just a recognition that growth in our economy does not mean that a company has to be based here. To the degree that we will be successful, we'll be successful as a global company that can expand here in Massachusetts and do more business here in Massachusetts. But our future depends on our ability to operate globally. And I, for one, just I think we've concentrated too much time and effort on what is or is not headquartered here rather than thinking about what is or is not growing here. Mm-hmm. So I would concentrate on what's growing here.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. I mean, the new governor really needs to take stock of his or her assets in this state. What are the industries? What stages are they in? And maybe not fall in love with just the really hot biotech. That's a piece of it. Is that your new area now, Peter? But honestly, I mean, take a look at all the industries, healthcare, education, the technology sector is not dead. It has changed since the 90s, but it is not dead. Right. And certainly financial services now has come back in a very different way, but strong as ever. And so, again, I agree with Ann. You don't have to be headquartered here. There's opportunity to retain and grow, as well as bring in some new ideas and new employees and employers.
I want to get to Tim, but I want to follow up on what Ann said. My question would be, are you saying you feel like there's been sort of a lot of, I guess, pointless gnashing of teeth or, you know, rending our garments over big companies being bought, and it's, you know, it's energy, misdirected energy, or...
Well, I don't think it's pointless. I just don't think it came to fruition. What has happened in terms of the concern, mm-hmm. I'll just speak about our own company rather than take a broad brush to all others. We went through a merger and acquisition. We committed to pre-merger levels of employment. We're making good on that. We indicated that Bank of America would spend at least the same, if not more, money philanthropically. We'll spend $10 or $11 million in Massachusetts alone philanthropically, or we did just in this past year. We've committed $100 million for New England over a five-year period. These are dollar amounts and commitments. Frankly, in a smaller operation, I don't know that we could have made those kinds of commitments. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure that Home Depot and Verizon could make similar kinds of comments. But the point is... Robust companies can invest in all the communities in which they work and live. And that's the name of the game, having a going enterprise. And at least for our part, we've been able to grow because our business has grown, and we've been able to make commitments that we heretofore could not have made in a previous iteration.
Mm-hmm. And I think, be it banking or technologies, telecom, there's a lot of businesses that will support each other together. So I think that would be my question or my advice is, you know, as those different technologies grow together, what can we do through services, through the medical field to have a total economy? I think that would be a great thing. That's what Home Depot is looking at. Our growth is not only in the metro Boston area, but throughout the state too. So that's one thing that we look to, to develop upon as those communities grow and prosper, you know, possibly even outside of Boston. What are we looking at? And that's a future growth strategy for us mm-hmm. as a company.
Mm-hmm. And I think we also have to be aggressively competing for resources. I mean, it's something we do every day in our own corporations in trying to get resources and assets and investments for our market areas that we're responsible for. I see that throughout the country in Verizon. There's each area that looks at their strengths and their weaknesses and what can they bring to the table, the overall good. As a former New England telephone company, we couldn't survive today being isolated in just New England because there's so much more as far as resources that the corporation has brought into New England and particularly to Massachusetts that in the past we wouldn't have had advantages to take advantage of.
Are there any ways in which you think corporate leadership is underutilized in Massachusetts? You know, areas where you feel like your companies could do more if they were asked?
I don't know necessarily underutilized. I think we've got a very strong leadership team in the New England area. As this is a major market for us, we're continually looking into how we can improve it and even better utilize it. So I don't know that it's been underutilized by any sense, but I think, again, what we're looking at is how can we develop it even further to support our growing businesses here, be it distribution centers, be it technology centers. I think those things are all on the table now to see how we can better serve our stores, our client base, and then also the communities as well, be it giving back to the communities or through programs, through outreach, through Habitat for Humanities and such, you know, such like that. So I don't think it's been underutilized. I think we're even looking to how we can improve it and broaden it.
Mm-hmm. I think that the business community has had a rap against it in that we're very fragmented. We don't come with a single voice, and that's because we have certainly some separate interests. However, I think some major advancements were made, and the healthcare legislation is an example of that. You have major business organizations to which we all belong, Mass Taxpayers, Business Roundtable, the Chamber, and those groups have decided through their leadership, which we all partake in, to come up with some key policy issues for the betterment of all of our businesses and life in Massachusetts. Healthcare was the number one issue. Mm-hmm. And so I think what I've seen is a better utilization of the power of business voices by coming up with some priorities and putting our energies and muscle into them instead of being all over the place. That's not to say we don't have individual issues that we have to, you know, advance, but I think that, you know, for the betterment of the work and the economy here in Massachusetts, we've made some strides. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of work to be done. There's always other issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. One thing I know is always important to a lot of people in business is Logan Airport. And I'd love to hear your take on how well you think it's operating these days. Anything you feel like could be improved over there to serve the business community, business climate.
We're just glad to be able to get in through there, and now that's probably the biggest thing. Now that most of the construction's been done, you know, we're pleased.
Right.
I just think, you know, certainly the parking has been kind of the bane of existence of everyone lately, trying to get a spot in there. But I think the improvements of public transportation in and out of Logan has been a major advantage. The Silver Line, accessibility from South Station when we're trying to get people to and fro. That's been a good thing. And I think that they're doing what they can to compete. We still have many employees who find it easier to fly out of Manchester and Providence because of all those reasons and mm-hmm. congestion in and out of the city. But those two places don't have the advantage of public transportation. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. How about for yourself, Anne? Is Logan making you happy these days?
Well, I mean, there's always room for improvement, but it's not a major factor in terms of attractiveness of the city or concerns that we have.
Mm-hmm. I guess, I mean, you know, they've gotten to the end of whatever it is, $4 billion in improvements, and does it feel like it's qualitatively better than it was 5 or 10
I've been
ago?
Around a long time. Yes, it's qualitatively better.
Great. Right. And maybe let me just try sort of one more run back at the sort of infrastructure or mega project question. Appreciating, I think your point that, you know, probably we have our hands full with making healthcare work. Does there, you know, as you think about the state, moving people around the state, moving products around the state, you know, do you feel like there are infrastructure things that the people ought to be looking at, even if, you know, they're not going to get done next year, but 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
Yes. I mean, but for us, it would be more focused on public transportation. Mm-hmm. Certainly we are interested because of our vehicles and what goods and services we transport physically throughout the state to make sure that the roadways are in good repair and our bridges are sound. But more and more, because we do move people around, even in Massachusetts and in Rhode Island, southern New Hampshire primarily, we need more focus on making those modes of transportation, you know, intermodal as they are, attractive, cost effective, and certainly now with the energy prices being what they are and our employees concerned about that, I mean, we offer them incentives to take public transportation, right. To save in you know, tax-free accounts to do those kinds of things. And we actually started that program in Boston and rolled that out throughout the country, mm-hmm. and have found that to be a good incentive to employees. So public transportation and expansion, particularly the South Shore area, Western Massachusetts, making the frequency. And again, because of the regional nature between Boston and Providence, mm-hmm. Boston and Manchester, and Portland and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, New Bedford and Fall River commuter rail, does that sound?
I mean, that's a big deal for us. Mm-hmm. We move people to Fall River. We move them back up to Brockton. I mean, they're depending upon people and their interests and different work center opportunities, but they typically stay in the same place, right. You know, because the commutes aren't that long. We're not, you know, Long Island, New right. York, or New Jersey. So people stay where they are, and they want to be able to hop on not necessarily a bus per se, but a train or some type of rapid transit and get into wherever they need to go.
Right.
I think it's equally as important for our business at Home Depot. Being that we do have 40-plus locations in this area, we do try to make sure our stores mirror the community, which entails making sure that we have a good employee base that is from that local area. So again, with that amount of stores too, we do move associates back and forth from location to location. Obviously, mm-hmm. it benefits their work-life balance. Puts money in their pocket if they're not having to drive. So I think, you know, transit is a key part for all of our employees, all of our people out there, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you mentioned the amount of building that you're doing on 495 and Western Mass. Is that, you know, the traffic problems on 495, are they really beginning to have any kind of noticeable impact on how well you can operate?
I don't know that it's impacted our business to that degree yet, but I think any time we have, you know, construction out there, it does impact our business. Typically, you know, as it finishes, we see that business come back, though. So, you know, and that's part of our focus, too, is to make sure we have locations in the correct spots that will benefit our not only customers but our associates as well.
Mm-hmm. And would you want to take a crack at that?
I think our issues are a little different. I'd focus, again, on affordable housing. If there's a number one issue, that would be what concerns us. And then secondarily, what we spoke about earlier in our discussion, the long-term education issues. Mm-hmm. So that I think in terms of the long-term, we still have that long road to improve the overall education of our kids. And on the short-term, it's the affordable housing. And on the very short-term, I'd love to see someday 128 and 95 make any sense in terms of road signage.
Right. 128 south is 93 north.
And right.
Yeah.
And
right.
I mean, Ian raises good points. When we think of infrastructure, we don't really think of it as parochial as we might, you know, with our infrastructure, our capital investment, our cables. We really do think about the infrastructure of the state. And most of those are maybe soft things, but yet tangible: education, housing, infrastructure, public transportation, roads, ways, and so forth. They're integral to our business. But, I mean, the things we work on most definitely put a lot of energy in is truly education is probably number one for our business. We have, you know, a high focus on literacy efforts. We're interested in societal issues like domestic violence and those kinds of things. So, I mean, each business has a little different focus, but I think we're pretty much together on the education front in some way. It's just such an important fabric for the future.
Right. Do you, on that, and I'd love to hear thoughts from all of you, do you have a thought about whether it's better for the state to be providing that directly, or whether sort of a voucher program, a tax credit program for people to go find a place where they want to, do you have a sense of what works better?
You know, there's been all kinds of research done on this topic throughout the country, and I do not profess to be an expert. But one of the things we've learned throughout the country is where there is some level of choice and competition and the ability to determine that one size doesn't fit all, mm-hmm. Smaller schools, specialized schools, that there is a real advantage to having that choice and mm-hmm. that our employees seem more satisfied with that choice. And it really runs the gamut between, you know, religious affiliation schools to charter schools to, you know, technical schools. And it just seems that, you know, we have to probably step back. While there are core competencies, those must be maintained, whatever the type of school. But there right. really is, I think, a movement afoot throughout the United States to try to be a little bit more personalized in approach.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think also with the diversity that we've got in the area, and I think with the different backgrounds, the different fields, that's key. If you don't have, if you can't cater to the needs of that community and the needs of the students, I think it wouldn't be successful. So whatever it would have to be something that could be maneuverable to appeal to a large group of people.
We operate in 30 states, 140 markets. I think we would agree that one size does not fit all.
And for Massachusetts specifically, I mean, same answer as the other states, or
there's no silver bullet. First of all these companies, just in terms of our own operations, we put a great deal of money into training and education of our own employee base, associate base. Right. Beyond that, many of us, probably the greatest dollar amount that we put into communities is in some area of education. So there is no silver bullet. But I would say that we're at the table trying to help and trying the various opportunities that are out there. Charter schools, after school tutoring, mentoring, encouraging our employees to volunteer their time, giving them time off to volunteer in the schools.
Great.
So it's not any one thing.
And we're all big proponents and participants in school-to-career experiences as well,
right,
while children are in schools, because it, again, gives us a glimpse of the workforce, of the future, what are the skills and talents, what are the gaps, but also gives a wonderful opportunity for our young folks to take a look at what their possibilities are. Mm-hmm. And there's a wide breadth of possibilities here in Massachusetts, even in the city of Boston.
I think to second those is there's such a large opportunity, even within any of our companies, be it our basic core retail business, but also the energies behind that focus and that pull the companies together. We've done different things out there. Again, we talked about community outreach projects. This past week, we had a Kaboom build. So it was a community project where we had about 150 people in Taunton. And we provided a playground for youth out there. Hmm. We had one 2 weeks ago in Springfield. We had 180 volunteers come out. Like you said, this is volunteer time. It's sweat equity that we're putting back into the communities, to let our communities know what we have to offer as companies and as business people out there, what we have for their futures. So I think that's been a win for our company. We'll continue to do that.
And it's, you said Kaboom build?
It's called Kaboom, yeah. It's a giant playground.
It's like everybody comes in one one day.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually we've done two of these again in the past month here in Massachusetts. So we're fortunate to be able to bring that type of activity into this area.
Mm-hmm. I am very mindful that it's over our time, and so I don't want to overstay our welcome. But I just wonder if you have any parting thoughts or any questions you think I should have asked that would have been good for this discussion, or any questions you want to ask each other.
You're good. We appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks for
I
you.
Really appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thank
you
to our
good. Nice to meet you.
Thank hostess.
You. Thank you
nice
for hosting
to meet you.
Us.
Donna,
appreciate
good to see
it.
You.
Same here.
Thanks.